The Department of Infrastructure has admitted to the Nolan Show that its officers are posing as needing to go to hospital in order to see if taxi drivers who are not licensed to do that work cave in. If the driver does do it, they are fined. And the Nolan Show, if you were listening to recent programmes, has been inundated by taxi drivers saying Stormont is engaged in a dirty tricks campaign entrapping the working man and woman. The Department of Infrastructure vehemently deny this. They say at no time will DVA enforcement officers seek to appear vulnerable or suggest there is an urgent need to attend hospital. The focus of the surveillance, they say, is to identify illegal activity that undermines the livelihood of licensed taxi drivers and poses a very real road safety risk. Officers, they say, will not solicit, coerce or induce a taxi driver to act in any way that they would not normally do when engaging with a member of the public. Jimmy, morning to you, Jimmy.
Good morning, Stephen.
You brought us this story, didn't you?
Yes, Stephen, I did.
Yeah, I want to just set out what's happened, because I promised you we would dig into this. And the Department of Infrastructure are simply refusing to deny a number of questions. They're actually refusing to specifically address a number of questions so far. So we want...
Can I just
set this story out. So this is about transparency within government. And the permanent secretary in the Department of Infrastructure is a man called Peter May. And ultimately the buck stops with him, because his responsibilities, among them, he's the chair of the departmental board, and among Peter May's responsibilities include setting the department's standards and values. So we are simply asking the department this. Can they deny what some of our callers have told us, that some of Mr. May's officers are posing as people who either are cancer patients or need to go to the cancer unit? Is that within the standards that Mr. Peter May, who is the permanent secretary, is that a standard and the values that a government department should subscribe to? To walk up to a taxi driver and say, I need to get to a cancer unit. And if the taxi driver feels sorry for that person and takes them to the cancer unit, there are a squad of cars ready to surround that taxi driver. Now, you might feel that, look, that taxi driver should not be breaking the law, is not licensed to do so, but why are they using cancer units? Now, what we're trying to do is simple journalism here. We're contacting a government department and saying, we've been told by taxi drivers that you're doing this. Are you doing it? And they're refusing to answer the question. They're giving us everything but answer the question. And they're saying they don't do it when there's an urgent need. They don't pose as urgently needing to attend hospital. But then elsewhere in their statement, they say they do use hospitals as a location. Why would they do that? And hospitals as a location, in what context? We then ask them for the role-playing scenarios that they use. They won't give them to us, Jimmy. So why this secrecy around what the department are doing? And in what way do they use hospitals to try to see if taxi drivers do or do not abide by the law? We have had other claims which the department still to this day are refusing to specifically address. For example, we said, are they posing as someone who urgently needs to get to hospital for the birth of a child? They don't talk about a birth of a child in their answer. They simply say that at no time will DVA enforcement officers seek to appear vulnerable or suggest there's an urgent need to attend hospital. Well, we're saying about the birth of a child. Why doesn't Mr. May's department answer the question? We've also asked them, do their officers pose drunk? And then the department again puts a veil of secrecy around it and talks about at no time do they appear vulnerable. Do they pose as being drunk? Go ahead, Jimmy.
Stevie, like yourself, I have been stopped 6 weeks ago. From what I have written to them twice, I have been down with them once with a witness. I have asked for all documentation from these people. I have yet to get that. I was with my MP yesterday, and he has requested a meeting at Paul Girvan.
Okay.
I was with Paul Girvan yesterday, and he has asked for meeting with Mr. May.
Well, this program is today. We've already told the department this. If they don't want to be answering the questions to people like you, we are today putting in a Freedom of Information request to the Department of Infrastructure. Right. And we're asking for all of the scenarios that the department has used on the ground. Because they also say, and this is the really important part, they say officers will not solicit, coerce or induce a taxi driver to act in any way that they would not normally do when engaging with a member of the public. Well, again, we have heard of scenarios on this programme where people are claiming that after they've turned one of these undercover officers away, posing as a passenger, that the undercover officer has come back 3, 4, 5 times. We're going to make sure that...
Guy acted drunk, and the guy who actually spoke to me says that your statement is the exact same as his. He has said he was acting drunk. Now, I've got 2 witnesses tell us that this guy come up acting drunk. Now, my shirt is, I did not lift this guy. I acted in a public interest, getting a drunk man safely off the street to his destination.
Yeah, but hold on a second. There are licensing rules for a reason, and those licensing rules make sure that taxi drivers don't put people at risk. The licensing rules are there so that there's not anybody can just get into a car and pick up someone that's drunk, because that drunk person may then be vulnerable because we don't know who the taxi driver is. They could be of any type of background or dangerous background. So that's why the licensing thing is there. So to pick someone up, Jimmy, just because they're drunk, many people would argue is not an excuse.
Stephen, I did not pick this guy up. I hold my own operator's license, which lets me take bookings and pass them on. I acted, one, in a public interest for this guy's safety. I knew at that time of mate, I could not pick him up. I rang another guy who picked him up, and I, out of that guy's interest, wrote that details down.
And you rang another guy
to
pick him up. Let me bring Winston in. Morning to you, Winston.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Winston. Were you the caller? I'm trying to remember. You were the caller that was claiming that they posed as someone that needed to get to the hospital for the birth of a child. Is that right?
They got me. I said the Yellow Panther there, the back of the Victoria shopping mall. Says, could I take it to the Royal Hospital? Need to get there really quick.
Really quick would define urgent, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Well, the Department of Infrastructure, just so that you know, Winston, the Department of Infrastructure are essentially calling you a liar, because they are saying that this never happened. They're saying at no time will DVA enforcement officers suggest there's an urgent need to attend hospital. So they knew that you made the claim, and they have said that it did not happen. They never posed as an urgent need to go to the hospital. So they're calling you a liar.
Well, that's right. So does that mean if I can show the paperwork, can I get my money back for the fine?
Well, that would mean, I would suggest to you, that if you can show the paperwork, you probably have a legal case for defamation against them.
Well, that's all right. Well, I'll have it done today.
What paperwork do you have?
I go home and I'll have a look for it.
But what would the paperwork show?
Hold on a moment.
They are claiming that at no point did their undercover officers suggest that there was an urgent need to attend hospital. Now, you're saying the opposite.
Listen, the boy came out and said to me, he says, buddy, can you take us to the Royal Victoria Hospital? That his wife's just been into labour. It's going to be his first kid. He doesn't want to miss it. When I put him in the car, when I drove around, is it Lower North Street or North Street? And the Police says, pull into the side, and that boy Earl sorted you out, and it was them boys sitting there.
But they're saying it didn't happen.
Right,
so
okay.
someone here is not giving the full story.
Well, that's all right. We'll have it down there today to get my money back, Will. But it didn't happen.
No, they're saying the scenario that you're suggesting they put in front of you did not happen. That they have never posed as urgently needing to go to a hospital.
Listen, they were at this again last Thursday, so they weren't down at the Stannis Sea Lane. They were phoning in dud taxis because I pulled up with another two taxis from different parts of Belfast and the two of us had the same name and they were all false jobs. And when they drove out of the Stannis Lane Sea Lane, they had a big queue of taxis lined up. They were at this last Thursday.
But they are allowed within the law. They are allowed to assess whether taxi drivers are abiding by the law. The programme that we're doing today, and let's concentrate specifically on this, Winston.
Listen, this has happened to you, you know.
Yes, but hold on, and I know, and no doubt we'll hear from more today again, 03030 80 55 55. There's a bigger picture story here, and it is this. Is the Department of Infrastructure using cancer units and cancer patients and the cancer unit at hospitals as role-playing scenarios to see if taxi drivers will cave in and go against their better judgment? Is the Department of Infrastructure using the birth of children and posing as needing to urgently get to the birth of children in order to see if someone like you will break your licensing requirement? And they are saying they never do this, and you are saying, yes, they do.
Well, I'm telling them on your show they're liars, but I'm not the only person this has happened to.
Posing to go to the urgent birth of a child?
Yeah, at the Victoria Shopping Mall, the Yellow Bandstand thing.
Well, this is very simple. It's got to be documented. So if they won't release it, and if Peter May's department, he's the permanent secretary, if they will not release it voluntarily, we will put in a Freedom of Information request because it's got to be documented. They are required to document the scenarios, and the scenarios that they use must be signed off.
Well,
we will attempt to force it out of them if they will not answer the questions voluntarily.
Taxi drivers phone in with the same scenario here. For them is to come on your show and say they're not doing this, absolute rubbish.
To be precise, what they said, at no time will DVA enforcement officers seek to appear vulnerable. So is being drunk vulnerable?
Why don't you get your man on this show, Stephen? Bring your man on.
At no time will DVA enforcement officers suggest there's an urgent need to attend hospital. It's in black and white from them.
Bring him on to your show. Why will you not bring him directly onto your show and let us talk to him directly?
Well, we haven't asked the permanent secretary to come on. The reason why we're referring to him today is he is ultimately responsible for setting the department's standards and values. And look, maybe the department feels that it is okay to pose as someone needing to get to the hospital for the birth of a child. But that's it, we're asking them. And they won't address the specific scenarios. They won't do it.
Yeah, that's big violence itself, doesn't it?
Stephen, I am also asking for your man's statement to confirm that he was acting drunk. I have been asking for those statements this past 6 weeks, and I have been promised them, and they are still forthcoming.
So how long have you been waiting for them?
6 weeks. Well, I was stopped on the 13th of June, and that's just over 6 weeks. I have written twice to them, and I have been down once with them, and the last word I got from them is that you will definitely get word from us soon. Still waiting on them, because that will clear everything up where he says he was acting drunk.
But do you think drunk means vulnerable? You can be drunk and not vulnerable.
Well,
you see, they're just refusing to say whether they ever act drunk. But they're emphatically saying they never seek to appear vulnerable.
Well, they've done it with me. They did it with me 6 weeks ago. The guy was actually staggering about, fumbling about. Next week with his phone, and to me that is someone's vulnerable. And as I said to you, ask any taxi driver where the guy was. There is drunks and drug addicts hang about at that area every day, and I wanted the guy off the scene for his own safety, not my safety.
Well, let me just read for the sake of totality here. Let me just read, because we've been digging and digging into this on all your behalf. We said, in addition to answering the questions above, and they did not, they refused to specifically address the questions about birth of a child and cancer units. We said to them, please supply a list of approved scenarios used in surveillance operations. And they said it would not be appropriate for the department to comment on this. We went back to them again and we said to them, look, when we're asking you about the birth of a child, when we're asking you about a drunk scenario, when we're asking about posing to get to a cancer unit, can you please just say yes or no? Do you deny it or not? We're still waiting on them to come back to us. So what on earth is happening within this department? They also then say, while no complaints have been received by DVA in relation to surveillance operations. So is that true? None of you have actually complained?
Stephen, I have two written complaints into them.
Well, again, they're saying no complaints have been put in to DVA.
Stephen, I was also down with one of these guys who witnessed it. I'll tell you better still. This guy used a toilet and a dorm one. Actually asked him, are you okay, mate? He walked down staggering a bit too. So the dorm one also asked him, are you okay there, pal? She says, I'm not really using the toilet. So, you know, the dorm one noticed him walking down the street. A bit uneasy as well. I have written twice to them, Stevie. Twice in the last 6 weeks, I have written to them. The two managers, the guy involved, and his manager.
Well, when you're saying, well, again, this can be easily tested. The Department of Infrastructure are saying that they have never received any complaints in relation to surveillance operations.
Listen, Stephen.
So it's either true or it's not.
Listen, Stephen, I give you my permission for asking him for a copy of my letters.
Right.
I
here's what we will do. Hold on, because we need to cut the chase here and bring other callers in. But we will see if we can get the paperwork from you, and we will post that out on our Twitter and Facebook page. And we will put beside it the fact that the Department of Infrastructure are officially saying they have never received any complaints in relation to surveillance operations. They did say that they've looked into the claim made on the programme last week and they've found no evidence to suggest the DVA officer acted improperly. They say there is a complaints procedure in place for anyone who wishes to make a complaint about the actions of any individual officer. At no time will DVA enforcement officers seek to appear vulnerable. Well, does that mean drunk or not? They won't answer it. Or suggest there's an urgent need to attend hospital. Completely in contrast to what our other caller is saying. In order to carry out surveillance, they say, they will locate themselves in areas where illegal taxis have been reported as operating and will use final destinations, hold on, such as train stations, bus stations, hospitals. So they don't. What scenario do they use? So they're now admitting that they do use hospitals, but that they have not posed as needing to go to a hospital urgently. So what do they say? They say they use hotels, entertainment establishments as final destinations. The focus of the surveillance is to identify illegal activity that undermines the livelihood of licensed taxi drivers and poses a real road safety risk. So within all of that, guess what's not there? The answer to the question, did they say to someone, I need to get to the birth of a child? Did they or didn't they? Where is the transparency within this department? Do they pose as drunk? Mr. May, is it a value that you are or are not signing off for someone late at night to pose as drunk or going to the birth of a child or going to a cancer unit? They say enforcement operations are carefully planned and carried out by trained officers. Because we asked, who authorises this? What type of training is given? Are staff given freedom to make up their own role-play scenarios? Is there any written guidance for staff undertaking role-play? And we asked for it to be provided to the BBC. They say enforcement operations are carefully planned and carried out by trained officers. The approach and procedures followed are consistent with those adopted by other enforcement agencies, both in Britain and elsewhere on these islands. It would not be appropriate to disclose the details of enforcement operations, as this would make it harder to carry out this important role of detecting those who choose to break the law. We said, how many times has the department used the tactic of role play in 2014, 15, 16? How many fines have been issued? How many of these fines have been appealed? How many of these fines have been successfully appealed? And they say, we're able to provide statistics in relation to offences for legally picking up. This will take some time to collate. And they then refer to their complaints process. Stephen, let me bring in Richard and Dundonald. Hold on. Morning, Richard.
Let me come in there. Stephen, let me come in there. I want to go now. I'm going now to the Corporation Street, and I am asking them to send you a copy of my letter of complaint.
They say there is. They say you've never complained, and no one like you's ever complained. Well, they've said they've received no complaints.
I have personally handed them two letters. Personally handed them.
Well, then there's something going on.
And I listen. I am going off air now, and I know they will be. Listen to this. I tried four times ringing them yesterday, and I could not get any of them.
They are publicly saying they have never received a complaint about this.
Listen, Stephen, now, I am saying...
From anybody.
...that I personally handed them two letters, and I am going off air now, and I am on my way to Corporation Street as we speak. And I am asking for to give me a copy of those letters.
Well, let's just wait and see how this unfolds. Listen, thank you. Richard, go ahead, Richard.
Thanks for that, Stephen. I've just missed the taxi. I had to send the taxi away there. I've been waiting in the taxi 15 minutes.
Why did you send the taxi away?
I was waiting on a taxi to go with my message here. But what was I going to say? See, these taxi men, they're so clever.
Yes.
I don't know how long this has been going on. Excuse me. But surely, they should have raised up an eye, Stephen. Sorry about that. You should have raised up an eye. Anybody coming to get a taxi in the Belfast, the city centre, just say, excuse me, I'm going to put the recorder on here. I want your name and number if you're one of those people, these agents. Well, we can capture you very quickly. I mean, as long as it's been going on, Stephen, be honest.
Well, let's remember that, Richard, many people would argue these agents are actually doing public good, that they're trying to find people breaking the law.
I agree with them.
And therefore protect passengers.
If the taxi people are breaking the law, they should be brought before the court. But if there's someone incognito trying to do, the taxi man should be raising up and turn around and saying, sorry, I cannot lift you. I cannot take a fare. Go and book a taxi. Ring a taxi. Have your mobile phone? Ring a taxi. Just as quick. You maybe get one quicker. But then stand arguing with me here.
Why won't the Department of Infrastructure confirm or deny or come clean on whether they are posing as needing to go to the birth of a child? Why won't they answer the question? Why won't they answer the question specifically as whether their officers pose drunk? Why won't they answer the question as whether their officers pose as people needing to go to cancer units? What is going on that they won't answer it?
Well, as you say, under the Freedom of Information Act, they should be forced to answer those questions.
Well, we'll try to squeeze it out of them.
Well, I hope you do, Stephen, because I'm telling you. Oh, sorry, Stephen, there's the old taxi just arrived here.
Right, Richard, thank you. Peter, morning, Peter.
Well, Stephen, I just make a wee... I've another story for you about it. I was devastating, but I'll tell you how well trained they are. I was driving a 50 grand S-Class Mercedes. They pulled up at the Europa Hotel and they says to me, your car's coming back as a Volkswagen Polo. I says, excuse me, officer, if I'm going to ring a car, you think I'm going to ring an S-Class as a Volkswagen? They took me down the Corporation Street. They near enough pulled the car apart. And then when I got the head of the time to come down, I made a complaint. Their attitude is, any cheek from you, we'll take a license off this bike.
Hold on. Yeah. I'm sure that they are working within the legislation that they have, Peter. Let's just talk about the type of enforcement that they're doing.
Well, that's the same thing. They're coming over to you. You're working, Steve Murray. Working here. It's not very busy.
But you're not allowed to break the law. You've got to work within the licensing regulations.
Well, what's the difference between them coming over to you and you're maybe sitting in Glengormley and your devil sends you down to Stenelang like last week. You pull up to Stenelang looking for your fare. Up to sitting about. Right down 5 or 6 miles and there they are saying all the taxis up. Hey, listen. See, if they've got any balls, they'll go on the falls and the shank on everywhere else and look at the taxis instead of bringing them down to Stenelang. You know what I mean? It's still entrapment. Stephen, many times have you had Rosie on?
It's not entrapment. It's not entrapment.
Well, what do they phone you for? They're phoning taxis. They're phoning no jobs. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. They're phoning no jobs. That's the same thing. They're having you down considering. I'm legitimate. I have no problem about them stopping me and having a look at me. But at the end of the day, they're still doing it. And my final point is, where else in the world, a London-type taxi in its name, do they make them put signs on all of a sudden? Because it's all to do with making money. So those black taxi drivers are sitting in the town, having to spend £200 to put a sign on. And everybody knows what they are. It's all about money. And you know, if you go to court and try to fight your fines, it costs you about £600. So you're not going to, you're going to take £120.
Well, actually, they would argue that it's all about safety and passenger safety and people who are not licensed to pick up passengers, not being able to do it and being caught, and that makes the roads and passengers and the taxi business safe. Michael and Armagh. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Michael.
Those taxi drivers, Stephen, don't have a dash cam in their taxis.
A dash cam?
Yeah.
Well, that would record exactly what was going on if they did, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Or they use their iPhone to record a conversation.
Michael, thank you. Billy next. Morning, Billy.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Billy.
Stephen, a couple of months ago, I was pulling up outside the Europa Hotel, the one for a sandwich, and I pulled up at one of the parking spots, and a guy walked over and just got in. I actually opened my back door and got in and says, mate, I'm late for a business meeting. He says, in a Ramada, up in Shaw's Bridge. And I thought about it, and I took him. All right, I shouldn't have took him, but I took him. I charged him £8 and I gave him a receipt. On the way up, he made a phone call, fellow's buddy, and says, look, I know I'm late for the meeting. He said, well, there in a couple of minutes, I'm in a white car. And as soon as I drove up, he got out of the car, and a fella and a guard walked straight over, surrounded my car, and I was hit with a £330 fine.
Well, you shouldn't have picked up the businessman. You should have got him out of the taxi and said, my license does not allow me to do it.
But it's entrapment, Stephen. Well, put it like this.
It's not entrapment.
I'm not allowed to do it during the day. How is it that I'm allowed to pick up in the town from 12 o'clock on a Friday night and Saturday night to 3 o'clock in the morning? So I'm allowed to work without a license to satisfy the police and to satisfy the DOE to clear the city centre. But see, at 3:05, if I pick up a fare in Belfast, I'd be prosecuted for it.
Well, that's the rules. That's the rules.
No, they're not going to break the rules. If I pick somebody up in the town between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock, I have no operator's license.
Okay. Listen, thank you very much indeed. Our promise to you, we made the promise the last time, and we'll make another promise now. We are going to do everything possible. We will put freedom of information requests in, and we will collect data. The Department of Infrastructure still, to this very moment, refusing to confirm or deny whether they are posing as people needing to get to cancer units. Confirm or deny whether they are posing as people needing to get to the birth of a child. And we think it's in the public interest now, to get an answer to it. 10 o'clock.